Just a reminder that Diet Starts Tomorrow is a podcast for entertainment purposes only. It is not a medical podcast and does not constitute medical advice. Always seek the advice of a physician or a health professional. Hello and welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Emily.
And I'm Lauren. And I am not high on 12 cans of Coke today.
I tried my hardest. I was looking for an energy drink that I could feed Lauren before the show, and I could only find in the fridge, the shared fridge at Betches, there was this creamsicle, like an orange creamsicle flavored energy drink. Yeah, I'm not going to blow up the brand or anything, but it was bad. And so I couldn't get Lauren her sauce. I do apologize because I have learned that she's just a star performer when she's caffed up.
I can't believe you weren't kidding. Emily walks in.
Not even a little.
Pulls out an energy drink and hands it to me.
Like, I start slowly opening the can. I was slowly opening it. Like, if I open this, you got a drink.
And I did. I did. You like... It's our relationship is a little abusive now, but it's anything to entertain you guys, we'll do it. But it
you're
was,
a star, baby.
Next time, just bring me a Celsius, and so I will shoot. I'll shoot a little because I had one more Celsius in my fridge, and I was like, well, I can't throw it away. Like I poured it in a little glass. I like it was wine or something,
right? Like it was a frosty lemonade on a hot summer day.
I drank a third of it.
Okay, that's reasonable. But here's the problem. The problem is it's carbonated. So you can't really, like, I don't like to drink part of a can and then put the can back in the fridge because then...
I know. I toss the rest down the sink like we do as intuitive eaters. If you're done, you're done.
Yeah, but I like to save stuff. So I would never finish a can just to finish a can. I'm not saying that. It irritates me when there's too much... beverage.
Are you the person who wraps up half a banana and like puts it in the fridge because maybe they'll eat the rest of the banana?
Yes, and Andy yells at me because I never eat the other half. Like I'll put the banana back in the fridge. It turns brown immediately, like within 12 hours.
You are my
aunt.
Anytime I go to her, she's always wrapping up like two almonds or something, like a little tiny leftover, like a piece of a tomato. And I'm like, I'm not going to eat that. Like just talk.
You know. It just rots in the cupboard. It rots in the fridge. And then you're the one who loses out because you got banana juice all over your fridge now. No, it became a huge problem. Andy actually told me, he sat me down, we had an intervention. And he told me, if you only want half a banana, give me the half. I will always 100% of the time eat half a banana. It's nothing to him.
Oh, that's a great plan.
Yeah, so now I've started doing that because he was like, your half a banana habit is getting out of control. Like, it is ruining our household.
I love how psychic I am. I
know, you always predict the issues.
To a T. Do you also... I'm kidding. No, but I've started doing this thing where when I'm... eating at a restaurant or something and I have some leftovers, I actually won't take it home all the time because I know me and I know it will just rot in the fridge. And I have an Andy. His name is Mary. And she is my roommate of 9 years and we're practically married.
It's a domestic partnership.
We have our shows. We have our systems. We take turns with the trash. It's a whole thing. And because of her, like, I feel bad just, like, piling all these boxes in the fridge and then I get busy and don't take them out. So if I'm at a restaurant and they're like, you don't want to take it to go? And I think I offend waiters sometimes. I'm like, no.
So, I mean, I agree that it depends. You can always tell how likely it is that you're going to actually eat it the next day, right? Mm-hmm. But I am so the opposite because if I'm out with other people and they don't finish their meal and they're not going to take it home, I will wrap up their food and bring it home.
I love you. That friend. Her name is Elena. Why am I dropping so many names today? But when we go out to eat, I'm like, do you want this? And she's like, well, not right now. She'll like put like half a bite in her box. And
yeah,
it's just, I love it. I'm like, oh, it's not going to waste. But it's this, does it bring me joy thing? Or what's the concept of cleaning?
Oh, you're thinking Marie Kondo, the Kondo method of cleaning. Does it spark joy?
Yeah, I feel like I do that with food where it's like I have to let things go sometimes. Like I try not to obsess over, there's people in underdeveloped countries who don't have food, therefore I should eat the food. And it's like sometimes it's best just to toss it. If you know you're not going to get to it and if it's causing your domestic partner stress, like
100%.
Just don't bring it in the house or throw it out. Anyways.
Also, there's people in this country dying of mold. So you don't want to leave the food in the fridge too long. You know what I mean?
Nobody's dying of mold.
Oh, mold can absolutely kill you.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You didn't know this? I actually had a friend who had black mold in her apartment, and it was the type of situation that, like, if she hadn't spotted it and called somebody, she could have died.
What does it look like?
It's black. Black mold. There's black mold, there's blue mold, pink mold. No, I don't know. I actually don't know another kind that's not black. But it, she showed me, it's like, it was in the ceiling, like where the wall meets the ceiling, and it just looks like black spots.
Well, I had that in my bathroom.
Uh-oh.
Well, my landlord pulled the ceiling down and made me a new ceiling of my bathroom, but there were black spots of that stuff in my bathroom for like, for over a year.
Oh, geez.
Am I dying?
I have ants.
Every New Yorker has some sort of like disgusting thing happening in their home that's probably gonna shave 5 years off our lives.
Yeah, I have an ant infestation problem right now, but I'm kind of ignoring it. Yeah. But, so I hate bugs. Like, I hate bugs. And every time I've ever seen a roach, not in my current apartment, God willing, but when I've seen roaches in the past, like, I can't even handle it. But ants are the one type of insect that, like, I can handle. I can coexist with them.
Emily, no.
But it's getting kind of out of control.
Call the exterminator. An exterminator. I've had ants before. An exterminator.
They can exterminate ants, yes, though, that are coming in from the outside.
A good exterminator knows how to end your ant problem. We had a really bad ant problem a couple years ago. Called a guy. Boom. Done.
You're absolutely right. I should call the exterminator.
Because it'll get worse. They'll tell their friends. They'll come back. And if you think about it, like, a crumb of food to us is like a crumb of food, but to them, it's like a mountain of, you know, so you also have
it's
to
a
be
bounty.
Like, be careful about, you know, crumbs and shit.
Yeah. See, that's my fear, is that the exterminator will come in and then they'll go into the corner where all the ants are partying in my room, find a purse and find a lollipop in that purse. And
well, that's great.
Yeah. So really, I should just go through my purses, because that's it. It's
no,
happened. No,
Emily, call an exterminator.
I will. But I'm going to see if I can eradicate the problem prior to calling the exterminator.
Okay. It feels like cat food has been the same forever. Smelly, boring, made of mystery ingredients. That's why you've got to try Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge. And it's delivered right to your door. Make the switch from kibble and give your cat a meal they'll love. We actually sent some to my friend who is fostering kittens, and it is the only thing they will eat. It comes in these pate packages, and you scoop it, and you just feel like you're a chef for your baby kitties, and they j'adore it. Your cute kitty is descended from ferocious desert cats who hunted live prey. Even if your cat prefers to nap all day, they still need fresh, protein-packed meals for a balanced and healthy diet. Other brands fill their food with mysterious meat byproducts, artificial flavoring, and preservatives with names I don't even want to try to pronounce. After switching it up to Smalls, 90% of cat owners reported overall health improvements. That's major. The team at Smalls is so confident your cat will love their product that you can try it risk-free. That means they'll completely refund you if your picky cat won't eat their food. Now is the time to make the switch to Smalls. Head to smalls.com/DST and use promo code DST at checkout for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use my code DST for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code DST for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping, baby.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there, and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
You owe us a wellness check, Emily. Can you let us know how your wellness journey is going?
Yeah, I'm deeply unwell.
That every time.
I know. And it's never not true. This wellness check is actually coming at the perfect time because I went and got my yearly physical. Now, when I say yearly, it's because you're supposed to get one every year, but it had actually been 4 years.
Stop.
Yeah, and I didn't realize it had been that long, but I think, you know, time sped up with the pandemic. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I really thought, I knew that it had been, I knew I was overdue, but I thought it had been 2 years. It was four.
Yeah. You have to adjust for COVID. Like, that's total sin license to be off by a couple.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, exactly. So, I mean, it's a good thing I went, but I kind of decided prior to going to the doctor mm-hmm. that I was turning a new leaf because sometimes when I would go to the doctor, actually not sometimes, all the time, and they would say, how are you doing? Are you having any issues? Are you having any discomfort? I would always, even if there was a mild thing that was kind of in the back of my mind, mm-hmm. I would just be like, oh, I'm great.
And you'd be like, I'm good. How about you?
Exactly. How's your mom? How's your Aunt Gloria?
Love that top.
Exactly. And by the way, I love my doctor because she is this no bullshit. She's a very hardened Eastern European woman. Mm-hmm. And we just talk shit all the time.
That's like, so fun.
I go in there. Actually, I was in there this time and the phone rang, her little extension. Uh-huh. And she picked up the phone and then hung it up. Like, she did one of the, like, what you do to prank callers when you know it's a prank right. call. And she turns to me and she's like, I've told these motherfuckers so many times, don't call me while I'm in appointments. Just send me a message on my chart because then I lose track of what I'm doing. And then, but you can't do it. And I'm like, Dr. O, I know. I know. Like,
and people don't read emails either.
People don't listen. People don't respond to what you need. She's like, yeah, you know, if you want to do anything, if you want to get it done, you got to do it yourself. I'm like, I know, Dr. O, I know. And that's like what our appointments are like.
I love that.
But I've been having this issue, and it's not a huge issue, but it's just something I've been thinking about, is I always feel dehydrated. Mm. And you see me in here. I always have a big glass of water. I always finish it. In my opinion, I drink more than the average person mm-hmm. water. Like, I drink at least, I have a mason jar that's a pint. And what I do is I refill it all day. And I must refill it like 5 or 6 times a day. And I know that's not like so much water, but that's a decent amount.
That's a decent amount. Can I ask how you would define feeling dehydrated?
Yeah, like literally thirsty. Like, okay, my mouth feels like sandpaper.
Yeah, okay.
And sometimes I do get lightheaded. I've had some issues in the past with fainting spells. I used to faint like on the subway sometimes if it was early in the morning and I didn't.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
Yeah. I would be the reason in people's morning commutes that their
Don't
train
say
would
that.
Stop.
Every New Yorker is going to stop listening to this podcast because we all hate that. They could be in real trouble, but they are making us late to work.
I know. I'm public enemy number one. And that's what I think of every time we get that little announcement on the PA system.
Sick passenger.
I think, oh, some girl didn't eat breakfast and she fainted a few cars down and now we all have to wait.
She didn't get her fiber and protein to start her day off.
Bring some OJ with you, Marion. I don't know why you have the name of an 85-year-old woman, but Marion, bring some OJ with you.
Marion forgot to have her fiber cereal with protein shake milk.
Exactly. I mean, that hasn't happened to me in years though, because I eat breakfast. I'm more conscious about it. I know it's a problem for me, but and whatever, I can talk about this at a later date, but I have a bit of a seizure disorder. So, like, mm-hmm. there are things that I do get concerned when I get lightheaded and stuff.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I decided I was going to tell my doctor. Yeah, like, when she said, have you been having any health issues? Mm-hmm. I decided, you know, normally I wouldn't make a stink about this, but this time I'm just going to see what happens.
This is the place where you
air your grievances.
Say these things. Yeah.
So, I was like, yeah, you know, it's odd. I have been experiencing this thing, and I don't know if it's a big deal, but I always feel dehydrated, and I feel like I drink a lot of water. Like, I consciously try to drink a lot of water, and I still feel dehydrated. Mm-hmm. And And she's kind of like, okay, tell me more about that. Now she's my therapist. But she was. She was like, so
how does that make you feel?
She's like, how much water are we talking? I was like, well, for example, it's 2 o'clock right now and I've already had at least a liter of water, but I feel like I desperately need a drink. Mm-hmm. And she just turns to me and she says, a liter's not a lot. And I was like,
how much is a liter? This is a bottle of water.
A liter? Okay, here's the thing. Here's another part of it. When I said liter, I didn't 100% know how much water I was talking about. I just knew it was more than one of those pint glasses that I was talking about. I probably had like 2 of those pint glasses full of water, but I said a liter and I actually looked it up. It's about the same amount. Like it's not, so to me,
Water do we need?
So this,
isn't the standard like 8 glasses of water in a day? And if you had 2, then you were a fourth done with your day.
So I've been doing a little research on my own, and apparently the recommended amount is 2.7 liters of water a day for women.
So you were almost finished with half of your day of water. So why would your doctor be like, that's not enough?
Well, she said, I mean, that's what she said. She said, that's not that much water. So I said, okay, fuck me then. No, actually, I said, okay, so should I be drinking more than that? She was like, yeah. So I walked away from that appointment feeling pretty unseen.
Yeah.
Just because, not because like I thought, again, I don't think I'm this goddess of drinking water. I don't think I exceed expectations, but I do think I drink more than the average person.
Yeah.
I'm always seeing these memes that are like, it's 5 o'clock and I realized I only had iced coffee today. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. I'm always hearing people talk about how they don't drink water. My dad never drinks water. He drinks Diet Pepsi and that's it.
Well, you know who told us that Coke or Diet Coke is the same thing as water is Weight Watchers. Not to bring the conversation to a weird place.
Wait a second. I didn't know this.
But when this is a core memory from when I was doing Weight Watchers at like 12 years old, is we had to get 8 glasses of water a day. And they were like, remember, water can be diet soda. Water can be all these.
Because there's water in it?
Yeah, because it's like your body, quote unquote, via Weight Watchers, needs 8 glasses of liquid a day. And it doesn't have to be water. Like listeners, but back me up, Coke DM me.
But it's dehydrating, though.
Well, I'm not saying it was right, but remember this.
I don't remember that. I didn't do Weight Watchers that young. I tried it once as an adult, and I don't remember that. But that's kind of crazy that
maybe that's what your dad is thinking. Maybe he went to a Weight Watchers meeting in 2001 and was like, well, this is water.
You know, I wouldn't put it past him. Yeah, he just doesn't like the taste of water, and he's kind of a crotchety old man.
Wow.
So he kind of just like, he's a contrarian for the sake of being a contrarian. Yeah. So like, we'll be out to lunch. I'll be like, Dad, you really should drink some water. It's like 90 degrees out. And he'll be like, okay, fine. And then very dramatically, we'll take the teensiest sip of water and be like, ugh! Now I'm seeing where my flair for dramatics
that's
comes
hilarious.
From. But yeah.
What
no,
are you going to drink water for when you got a
perfectly good Diet Pepsi?
Yeah.
Caffeine free. Doesn't give me the jitters. The thing is, I just want to make a point to say this. You should actually be drinking a glass of water for every glass of soda that you drink because it is dehydrating. So you need to rehydrate with more water. Anyway, whatever. The point is, she water shamed me. And again, I love my doctor's personality. She's just...
Well, it sounds like her personality is a hater.
Yes, and that's what I love about her.
But when it applies to you, that's not good care.
Right, yeah.
If she's saying something that's empirically not true, like, well, that's not a lot of water, when in fact you're almost at half of your recommended water for the day.
But even if her philosophy is that I should be drinking more than 2.7 liters of water, even if that's her philosophy, I don't think after drinking a liter of water by 2 p.m. I should feel that dehydrated. Do you know what I mean? Like, even if that's not that much, it's still
so this is still a mystery for you.
A little bit, yeah. But so there's a part two.
Okay.
So I left the doctor's appointment just a little confused and frustrated, and feeling a little bit bullied by Dr. O. Mm-hmm. But it's okay because I also got my shit talking. And you know, if you're gonna dish it out, you have to be able to take it.
Like, bully sees bully.
Exactly. Like, I need to be able to take it, and I need to have a thick skin, and that's the reality of having Dr. O as my doctor.
Okay.
But so I was telling this to a friend, and my friend is very into wellness and different hacks, like wellness hacks. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to her about it. I was like, yeah, this fucking weird thing happened at my doctor. And then I was telling her about feeling dehydrated. And she told me that you can take a pinch of salt mm-hmm. and put it in your water. And some people find that that helps with water absorption because yeah. the salt, like a little bit of sodium, it's actually filtered out of our water. This is what she told me. Mm-hmm. It's filtered out of our water and it shouldn't be because the salt helps, you know, the osmosis from the salt helps your body absorb
this
more
water.
This
sounds like one of those videos Instagram shows me at like 1 a.m. and it's like... They're taking the salt out of your water. They don't want you to know.
Exactly. Well,
this filter.
In this country, we filter everything out of our water.
And we put stuff in it too, don't we?
I actually don't know anything about that. What do we put in it?
We put chloride in the water. Fluoride, excuse me.
Oh, fluoride.
What's chloride? Nope, that's a cleaning product. Don't.
Clorox. We put Clorox in our water.
We put bleach.
This is a medical podcast.
This is not.
Yeah, fluoride is found naturally. In water, but whatever.
And food.
We're losing the plot here. The point is.
Did you try?
I did try it. Okay. I tried it because my friend also, it kind of explained it to me in the way that like liquid IV and those water enhancing supplements.
Yeah.
Some of it is, it's electrolytes, it's sodium, mm-hmm. salt. So if you just take a little pinch of salt, some people find that that helps. So I started doing it and I'm feeling a difference.
Really?
Yes.
I think that's awesome because this is like, see, this is an example of like a fun wellness hack that is safe to try. Like it is salt in your water, mm-hmm. you know?
And like, I know it sounds weird, like, because, you know, it's not like we're swallowing the water in the ocean and calling it health.
Do you taste it?
No, because it's so little. I was nervous about that. I was like, I can't drink salt water. It's not enough. It tastes slightly different in the way that like mineral water tastes slightly different. Mm-hmm. It does add something, but it doesn't bother me at all. It's just a pinch.
Was there any like thing in your lipid panel that made you think, oh, maybe there's something else going on?
No,
with
and
feeling
I'll,
dehydrated?
You know what? I'll report back because I actually have to go back to get my blood drawn.
Oh.
But this is another thing. She's kind of like, I've noticed some doctors are like this, that they kind of act like everything is no big deal.
Yeah.
So then you never know if they're being a little too lackadaisical about it. Like she told me I didn't need to fast for my blood test. She said, we don't do that anymore. Like that you don't need to do that. And I said, really? Don't they check for cholesterol? And like, mm-hmm. if you ate before, it'll not be accurate. She's like, yeah, but your cholesterol is fine. Like all your other stats are fine. And I was thinking, well, that doesn't mean that my cholesterol is fine. And then on the way out, the nurse said, make sure you've fasted before you come back for blood work. And I said, she told me. So there's like mixed messages happening in this doctor's office.
It sounds like she's letting her personal opinions on certain things cloud actual like medical protocol.
Procedure. Yeah.
Procedure. Mm-hmm. So dang. Yeah. Why is it so hard to find a good doctor?
I know it really is hard, but she's been my doctor for years and there's so many things I love about her. Right. I love doctors that are no bullshit and don't like make you do unnecessary tests. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the other side of that is sometimes she'll discourage me or tell me that it's not important. Like there was, I like don't even want to say this because I know you're going to hate this, but there was one time she actually told me that I didn't need to go get my blood's done.
Because you weren't fat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said your weight, because of your weight.
Emily,
and because,
I don't think this is a good doctor.
Yeah. No, it's not great. It's not great.
But you know what? I do want to show some empathy right now because I know what it's like to like a medical provider and because that's like half of it.
I know.
You know, is feeling comfortable, feeling like they're not going to cause harm. But it sounds like maybe.
She's not thorough enough.
She is lacking in certain areas.
Because there could be something legitimately wrong with me. Like I mean, I know that, I don't think it's this, but I know that that is a symptom of diabetes, mm-hmm. is people are like constantly thirsty.
Yeah.
I've heard of that before. I don't think I have diabetes, but it could be, you know, and she's yeah, just kind
I
mean, of dismissive.
I immediately, I see why you didn't want to tell me that other thing, because now I immediately don't trust her.
Yeah, I know.
Knowing that she's associating a body size with health, which is not how it yeah, works.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more complex than that. She has all my documents and mm-hmm. she has my whole medical history. So I think her seeing like, oh, well, you've lost this amount of weight and you've maintained this weight, then there's probably nothing wrong with you, which is also, I guess it's like semantics. It's kind of the same thing, but I don't know. I don't think she meant it in a harmful way, but I also don't think she's correct. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
I do.
She's kind of old school in that way. And I probably should find someone else, but finding a doctor you like is hard.
Well, you know what fat people do is we just ask our friends. Because I actually need a new primary care physician right now. And that's something I've kind of been putting off. So that's a wellness check for later for me is if I find one. But the way I'm going to do that is by checking within my network of friends. Like, who do you see that is like feels safe and like gives good care and gives you a test when you report symptoms and stuff like that? So like networking is how fat people find doctors, but like, why can't straight size people do that too?
Yeah, we could like, do that.
Check in with your friends, see what, you know, what they think about their doctors and maybe go from there.
I'm going to do that.
You know?
I'll report back.
Report back. This is a great wellness check.
Thank you. I knew. I knew I was coming in with the money shot
today.
It's
a literal wellness check.
I know. My doctor had to do a wellness check on me. We have a scoop today, and I'm really excited about it. This is something that I pitched to Lauren, because it's something I've been closely following, but Lauren really...
I don't really know about this.
Yeah, she doesn't know who this person is, so I'm going to have to explain it to her and explain it to you guys at the same time. And some of you might know, but some of you might not, because it's kind of like a niche fitness influencer drama situation.
Ooh, I'm already excited.
Right? Okay. Have you heard of this woman, Stephanie Buttermore?
I have not.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about her. So Stephanie Buttermore is an online creator who got her start on YouTube. And I was a big fan of hers mm-hmm. while I was in eating disorder recovery, because she was really into fitness, but not in an overtly harmful way. You know, like fitness people can be pretty toxic, but I never found her toxic. And she approached a lot of things from a scientific perspective because she was studying for her PhD in biomedical sciences at the time mm-hmm. and pursuing a career in cancer research. So like, she wasn't one of these people who was just like fitness full time.
She's not somebody who you meet on Tinder who's like, I'm a fitness counselor. And you're like,
Right. Like, what are your credentials? Or, you know, so she approached things from a very scientific perspective that like, it made sense to me at the time. And I really liked her. However, there were some like problematic things. Like, she was into fitness competition. She would do those bikini competitions where the women would do like,
were they like super tan?
Super tan, dehydrated. Okay. Like, you can't drink water. Speaking of water, you can't drink water for like 3 days before a competition so that your muscles pop out. Like, it's very crazy, these diets.
A bodybuilder competition.
It's essentially female bodybuilding.
Okay.
But they have to put them in bikinis.
Because.
To see the physique. I don't know. I don't know. This whole culture of like bikini competitions, it's so grueling and it's so strange. It's like, honestly, a tiny bit creepy.
Yeah.
Like the way that they're expected to look.
Well, we talked about this on another episode. It kind of reminds us of like dog shows.
Yeah.
Where they're like, look at this part of the body and let's judge it. And look at this part of the body and let's judge it.
It's yeah. Like, it's like compartmentalizing the person into body parts.
Or separating the person, their soul, from the body.
Oh, there is no soul. Yeah, there is no soul. Well, also those dogs at the dog shows, a lot of them have no soul, but that's neither here nor there.
Okay, so she does those.
So she would do those. So she was very regimented mm-hmm. at that time. And it's not like she was advising other people to do it. She was more so documenting what she would do to get in shape, quote unquote, for the bikini competition.
That's totally fair.
So while she was doing this, I don't know if it was once a week or like once every 2 weeks, but she would do these massive cheat days. Have you seen these videos on YouTube? Like when people do, I don't know, like 12,000 calorie a day challenges or like.
Oh, 12,000. That's a lot of calories.
Yeah, like these fitness people in order to stay, quote, on track.
Let me put my phone on airplane mode because I don't get these videos.
Oh, yeah,
and
no.
I don't want to.
We don't want Big Brother feeding this content to us.
I think I'm in like a cozy, like fat liberation bubble on social media. So I haven't seen.
They're less popular now, I think, because people realize that it's really not great. But it was the same as the mukbang era. Did you ever watch mukbangs? You don't know what a mukbang is? Okay. I love when I get to play teacher. A mukbang is just a word for when somebody films a video and they're eating a big amount of food while talking to you in the video.
Oh!
So it like feels like
you're... Sorry, I hate mouth noises so much.
See, I don't mind
that. No. If somebody is chewing gum or even like... kissing or I don't want to hear the slop in your mouth. Like,
you have a touch of the misophonia?
I have a big touch of the misophonia. Yeah. I could not watch those videos.
Honestly, I get it, but I found it very comforting. I used to watch a lot of mukbang videos.
So they're eating and then they're being like, so the other day I was at the store.
Yeah, sometimes they're talking about the food or sometimes they're just like talking about their life or story time. It's kind of like what people do on TikTok with the Get Ready With Me's.
Yeah.
When they're telling you a story.
While they do their makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So it's comforting. It's also just, I don't know why, but there is just something comforting about watching someone eat. Mm-hmm. Like the What I Eat in a Day videos, like those are problematic, but there are some that are just comforting to watch. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it, but she would do those. But the crazy part is she claimed to never get full. Like even when she would do these massive cheat days, mm-hmm. she would not seem to be uncomfortable or like maybe minimally uncomfortable. And eventually she makes a video and reveals that she has a really fucked up relationship with food. She doesn't have any hunger cues. She doesn't have any fullness cues. Like her body is so out of whack from doing.
She doesn't have hunger cues either? Because I was thinking if she works out a lot, maybe she doesn't get full because she's just like burning.
I think they're like fucked up. Like she can't tell when she's hungry. She can't tell when she's full because she was so regimented for so many years doing these fitness competitions and like needing to be lean, like her leanest.
She can't hear her body anymore.
So she announces that she's gonna do this experiment on herself called All In. And I believe she coined this term. It's not the same as intuitive eating.
Okay.
It's kind of like what somebody with an eating disorder would do before intuitive eating, which is like you just eat as much as you want, like eat to your heart's content until those fullness cues come back. Because that's what I hear a lot about people who are nervous to try intuitive eating. It's like, I can't even tell when I'm hungry. I can't even tell when I'm full.
Yeah.
So like, how could I follow my intuition? And the answer to that is that you need to get those cues back before.
Yeah.
So, you know, in eating disorder treatment facilities, they don't go right to intuitive eating.
Right.
They put them on like a high calorie diet.
Yeah.
They want to
make sure they're
that.
Getting like your nutrients in and
everything that you need. And that you can actually listen to your body because after years of dieting and restricting and not treating your body that well, you're really not going to be able to tell if you're like 80% full.
Right.
That's just not a thing for you.
Yeah.
And for her, I think it was very extreme. And I think she might just also naturally be one of these people that have big appetites. And so she might just be able to eat more than the average person. But then on top of that, she was restricting so much. She just couldn't, she was never full. And so she started this program called All In.
Okay.
And it was just, she was going to eat to her heart's content and kind of see what happened, like kind of see from this experiment if she could get her hunger and fullness cues back and also if she could heal her relationship with food.
Just by eating like as much as she can, or is she trying to like eat and like figure out like, oh, still not full, oh, still not full, oh, still not full?
I think it was just like taking all the restriction out of her life. I think
that sounds like intuitive eating, though.
It's not. Because with intuitive eating, she wasn't following all the principles of intuitive eating. Like there's way more with intuitive eating. This was more like, I'm going to keep eating until I feel like discomfort in my body. Mm. It's not like, oh, I'm going to stop and ask myself, like,
yeah,
you know, what percentage full I am. And mm-hmm. there wasn't like that much thought in it. It kind of was just from the outside looking in, it kind of just looked like she was on an eating spree.
I'm following.
Kind of like what you said you were doing before learning about intuitive eating. Like I think you said you treated your body like a trash can.
Well, I just, every meal was a rebellion because I went from dieting to realizing diets were bad. And then I was like, well, fuck everyone. I'm going to order this and this and this. And it actually wasn't making me feel good. But mm-hmm. to me, I was rebelling against diet culture. But
so I think it's kind of like that yeah. for her also. Anyway, so she does all in. And I believe within a year, she gained about 40 pounds. That's self-reported by her. Mm-hmm. And she definitely looked less lean, but she still looked physically fit. Because somebody who is in the gym multiple days a week and who did fitness competitions and was very young at the time also, mm-hmm. I feel like your muscle memory is on another level where, like, she still had abs while doing this wow. all in. Like, she still looks very muscular and, like, she works out a lot, mm-hmm. you know? And it could also just be her genetics, but anyway. So I think she initially gained 40 pounds and then she slowly transitioned into intuitive eating.
Okay.
From there.
Seems like the natural course.
Yeah. So then her weight stabilized. I think it might have gone down a little bit, but definitely not down to where she was in her fitness competition yeah. days. And she also reported that her hunger and fullness cues were completely restored.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So this experiment worked, you know, it worked for her to take all the restriction out.
Yeah.
Not too surprising to me. But then about a year ago today, Stephanie made a video to update people on where she was with her relationship with food and body image. Mm-hmm. And she makes this long video. I watched the whole thing because I'm very into her.
You're a stan.
I am. I like what she's about. And she also reported that her relationship with food, which it just improved so much. It was like night and day, you know?
That's awesome.
But there were certain things. She did say there were certain things that she still struggles with. And it's funny because some of the things she was saying are things that I struggle with, like yeah. not adding protein to every meal. Like mm-hmm. if you come from a background of fitness, you think, oh my God, I need to add so much protein to every meal. I can never just have a bowl of pasta. Mm-hmm. And that's like something she was talking about. So she's talking about all this stuff. And then at the end of the video, she surprised a lot of people by revealing, by the way, guys, I also got a breast augmentation.
Okay.
After she puts this video out, the internet lashes out.
They're being haters.
100%.
People can get boob jobs. Come on.
100%. Well, I do want to talk to you about this because it's kind of weird because I see what people are saying, but I don't necessarily agree with it.
How are they surprised, though, if she's doing these, like, bikini bodybuilder competition, somebody like that might get a boob job. Like, why are they surprised?
I agree with you. And she's been known to get like lip filler and, you know, she's kind of glam. Like she's yeah. always got a full face of makeup and I don't find it too surprising.
I think it's good that she was honest about the work she had done.
100% agree. I think the issue with people getting work done is not that they're getting work done. It's when they don't admit that they're getting work done and they act like it's natural.
And then they promote a product to look like them. They're like, try my shakes so you can look like me. And it's like, well, you look like you because you had some surgery.
Right. Kylie Jenner, buy my lip kits and your lips will be popping.
Which again is fine. Emily and I aren't saying like, don't get plastic surgery. But
yeah,
like,
it's fine if you want to do
that. The lines get blurred when you start selling people stuff on things that won't make their body look like your augmented body.
Yeah, like they cannot achieve yeah. that. It's false advertising.
Exactly.
Actually.
Exactly.
And you know, on that note, there was another creator that I mm-hmm. followed a lot in ED recovery, and she did intuitive eating. And I was so into her. I mean, she went from having an eating disorder like within an inch of her life wow. to being fully recovered. And she was really inspirational to
yeah.
me. But over the years, I think like maybe like 3-4 years, I was kind of following her progress. Mm-hmm. Over the years, I start to notice, yes, she's gaining weight, but it's all in her ass. And some people, you know, I recognize some people are pear-shaped. Some people just gain weight in their ass. But it got to the point where I started to really question if that was because of ED recovery or if she got a BBL. Because you could...
But you know what? I guess people don't have to tell us either. You know, like, we're praising somebody for being honest about it. But I think the line for me, and I know I said this like five times already, but the line for me is when you're selling products to try, you know, but
selling
like,
products. But in this case, if you're an influencer, a content creator, you kind of are the product.
Right.
So that girl, the petite girl with the huge ass, I mean, it would fill this whole room. And I loved it. She's super hot. She's super hot. And by the way, I loved it. And I was in the gym. Like, it inspired me so much. I was like, I'm going to keep eating and weightlifting, and I'm going to get a huge ass.
Right.
My genetics do not allow for that. But she would always claim that it was natural. She would always say, because people would ask her, you know, is it real? Have you had surgery? It's massive.
Well, then I'm going to believe her, I guess.
See, I don't. I did believe her for a few years, but it just kept getting bigger and it just kept, and the belly button shape changed. And that's the telltale sign.
Right.
That, you know, you don't just gain weight in your ass and nowhere else.
Yeah.
I just don't really think that's possible. Anyway, my point is, like, if you're going to do something, that's totally fine.
Right.
But be transparent about it. Don't say that it's from your recovery or it's just from eating good if it's not. Because
I agree with you.
You know, I was in the gym like 5 days a week trying to build a huge ass, just like my favorite creator, who I'm not naming right now. In case it's slander, I don't think it is. I've like done so much investigative research. Like, to try to figure out, I'm like, is it possible for her? It has to be that big. It's not.
You just need to go to an OR, Emily, not the gym.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, it's fine if you want to do that, but then don't say it's because you've been eating well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not. Back to Stephanie. So, the reason that people were criticizing this was exactly what you would expect. Mm-hmm. You know, it's... the classic, you know, you preach accepting yourself exactly the way you are and learning to love and accept your body. And yet you don't accept your body because you're going and getting breast implants. It's the same type of criticism that she got for doing All in the first place, which is like, okay, well, you know, it's fine for you to do that because your genetics are such that, you know, you'll put on 40 pounds and then eventually like your weight will stabilize and you'll still be super toned and muscular, but some people would go all in and they would gain 100 pounds and then have a really hard time losing it and like not be in the same societally accepted body that you are.
Right.
So I think this argument happens a lot. I see it a lot online.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Has she ever said, I'm doing this and you should too? Is that a part of her videos?
I don't think so.
I got a boob job, so you should too. I'm doing all in, so you should too.
I mean, you would have to be nuts to tell other people to get.
I think the haters can calm down.
I agree.
Because if you're, those are just her personal choices for her own body. And if she's not saying, like, it's probably not right for everybody, but if she's not saying, you guys should all do this, you'll be happy like me. Then, like, what is the problem?
Yeah, I think the problem is that people want to see themselves reflected in their favorite influencer, or their favorite vlogger. And, like, I think, you know, it's hard because I fully relate to this feeling. Like I said, that petite girl with the giant ass that could knock me over. It kind of did make me feel bad about myself that I didn't gain weight that way.
See, I think this is another, like, two things are true thing where it's like those feelings are valid. And at the same time, like, we have to stop putting human beings in these boxes of what's going to help us. You know, like, they're going to make choices for their own life, for what they want to do. And maybe there's a little bit of grief to be had when those choices lead to places where we're no longer feeling inspired. But I feel like we all, with love, like, we all need to be kinder. we all need to stop like telling people who they have to be and telling people that based on the choices you made for your body, you're being shameful or you're making us think that we shouldn't love our bodies this way. She's not saying that.
Yeah, she actually didn't tell you guys how to feel about anything.
She's being, I like her. Based on what you've said, I like her. It sounds like, you know, she's very open about her wellness journey and she's updating people on how it's going. If people no longer connect to it, push the unfollow button, guys.
I know.
If something is not making you happy, stop consuming it. Go to find, there's plenty of other accounts you can go to.
Yeah, no, I so agree. And I often wonder why it's so difficult for people to like curate their own content. Like,
yeah.
I have, you know, I've definitely fallen victim to like seeing somebody on social media and like feeling like their life was aspirational and like I was jealous, you know, so I would like kind of hate follow. Like right. I definitely have done that before. But if it ever got to the point where like I felt so bad about myself just based on what this other person was doing with their body or doing with their life, like I would like to think that I would just be able to unfollow.
Yeah.
You know, like do what's best for you. Like you're not looking out for your own self-interest, you know?
Exactly.
It's hard to do, but everybody's responsible for like the content that they consume. I don't think people should be actively putting out things that make other people feel bad.
Right.
But then again, freedom of speech.
I guess it's also just a really emotional topic for people with body positivity. Cause again, like you yourself, like people who've recovered from eating disorders, like it is a deeply personal and emotional thing. And when you find these safe spaces online and these creators that echo your healing process, when those change, like it is emotional and it is painful. But I think what people need to do is like feel those feelings with a friend. Don't go to the keyboard and be a jackass.
Yeah. Don't be a thumb warrior.
Don't be a thumb warrior. Like
seek out human connection, like this, real human connection.
It's this like customer culture with like human beings. Like stop. Like I know even with this podcast, like we're a product, we're a wellness self-care podcast product, but we are also like humans with flesh and blood. And this sounds disgusting now,
blood that I don't need to get tested,
boogers. But you know, like I feel like this, not cancel culture. This is not that conversation, but like customer culture when it comes to like art and people and their personal choices, that has gone like too far.
It's gotten out of control.
Like complain about if your hamburger place changes the formula. But if a human being makes a personal choice for themselves that is not causing anybody else harm, why are we blasting them?
Why are you wasting your precious time and energy criticizing this other person? Because this is another thing. She might not be fully healed. Like,
yeah, she's allowed.
And she's allowed. That's the thing. It's like, if she's not fully healed and maybe she wanted to get the boob job because she doesn't feel great about herself. Yeah. Like, and maybe you pointing it out to her like that isn't making it any better.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what is the intention when you criticize somebody for modifying their body, even if they are doing it from like an insecure place and you think that's wrong? It's not your body.
No, it's unkind.
It is unkind. Yeah. And that's not going to help that person heal. Mm-mm. So.
And it's weird. It's like people feel this weird permission if anything seems like it might be shamey or like anti-fat bias or have a tinge of like, it's like how people feel really emboldened to criticize like a thin person who is, you know, working out a lot or something. They need to eat something or they need, and it's just like, that's still like a person.
Yeah.
Who, I'm losing my train of thought here. Do you get where I'm going with
yeah,
this?
Yeah, well, you
thought?
Know what, you know what I see it with? You know what I see this kind of critique with a lot is the anti-diet dietitians who are in thin bodies.
Oh, okay.
I see sometimes, because I follow a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I don't know why it is that anti-diet dietitians who are thin, it seems like there are more of them, or it seems like they get more popular.
Well, guess who's going to be drawn to that field is not somebody in a bigger body who's been shamed their whole life. They're not going to want to read all these textbooks about like how, quote, obesity is a disease. You know, like where we are in our culture, like these are the dietitians we're going to have.
Yeah, you know? that's a good point, because a lot of them are people who you know, were taught to incorporate anti-fat bias into their practice, but then eventually ditched it by seeing a lot of clients and seeing the way that it worked. So like,
it kind of weeds out the fat people before they even have a chance.
That makes a lot of sense.
So I think it's just a...
That makes a lot of sense. But also I think there is an element of, these are people on social media. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a beauty contest. I hate to say it, but it is. Yeah. It's like, you don't follow... For example, people who are fashion influencers, mm-hmm. in my opinion, are not the most stylish people. They're people who are typically attractive, personable, lively on camera. They have like that it factor, but they're not. You want to see the most stylish people on the planet? Go to Bed-Stuy and go to Tompkins Avenue and sit outside on a Saturday afternoon. You will see the most style. Right, Shannon? Right? You see all the Pratt kids. You see like these ultra stylish people.
Yeah.
And I don't see any of them on TikTok. So like, it's kind of the same concept where like the people who get popular on social media, no matter what mm-hmm. topic they're talking about, are typically people who fit within the beauty standard.
Yeah. It's just like a natural effect of, that is a symptom of the culture that we have. Hence, I got no problem with skinny anti-diet dietitians. I have a skinny anti-diet dietitian.
Well, they're very much needed, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, don't you think it's...
Because people listen to them.
Right. And it sucks that it does seem like more people will listen to them than somebody in a fat body who says the same thing.
Right.
That does suck.
It definitely sucks.
But it's still... They're still communicating the correct message.
Yeah, it's allyship. It's important.
It's very important. Yeah. And it's interesting that you're... dietitian is also in a thin body too. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, most of the anti-diet dietitians that I know from social media or like people that I've connected with online are in thin bodies. Yeah. But I don't think they're the only ones that exist. It's just those are the ones that are able to gain more traction because mm-hmm. that content is, I guess, somewhat aspirational.
Yeah.
Because it's like, look at this person. They're still in a societally acceptable body, but they don't preach dieting and they seem to have a healthy relationship with food. And like, that's what I want to be like. I could see a lot of people responding to that, you
right.
know,
mm-hmm.
but it's tricky. It's tricky. Cause then you see commenters on a lot of their posts saying like, well, it's easy for you to preach this because you already have a thin body.
Okay. Again, this is people being haters.
Yeah. Like, but hatership is real.
Hatership is so real.
Have you ever felt like, oh, it would be so much easier to be body positive if like my genetics were different, or because I've felt it. I also felt it when I was in a larger body, actually, because I always had small boobs and I always had like a straight body type. And I would see people like Ashley Graham mm-hmm. or Tess Holliday or like people who have curves, like big titties and big asses.
Yeah.
And I never looked like that. So I would think like, it's not okay for me to be this size because I don't have that feminine.
You know, that is the origin of body positivity and fat positivity, are these like hourglass plus size, like almost like flat stomachs even.
Yes.
With like, you know, big boobs, flats, almost like an expanded Kardashian or something, you know?
Exactly.
And, you know, that checked a box and it got us on a road, you know, it's totally fine. But I do think the body positivity community has morphed because I do follow a lot of accounts of plus size creators. I mean, Shawn Taylor, she's got like an apron belly, you know, she's apple shaped, yeah. You know, like, so the body positivity influencers come in all shapes and sizes now, but you're right. Like when it started, it was just like perfect va-va-voom hourglasses.
Yeah. And I was like, I just cannot look like that.
Yeah.
And if that's the only acceptable way to be plus size, I don't fit in that either.
Right. Right. I am plagued with beauty privilege.
Yeah, for sure.
Registered dietitian called me out on it like a couple years ago. I don't know.
How did that go down?
I'm trying to remember, but she was like, well, don't forget you have beauty privilege. And I was like,
that's pretty privilege. Same
like,
thing.
Yeah. Pretty privilege, which fat people can have. Like,
of course.
I'm astutely aware that I am like a gorgeous, chunky, hourglass fair skin, red hair. Like, I know I'm pretty.
Well, it's,
you know?
Yeah.
But, and so sometimes I do, like, I got a comment on, I did a try-on video the other day, and somebody commented and they were like, well, I'm happy for you that these look good on you, but my body is like Shrek and they wouldn't look like that on me.
No offense to Shrek.
Shrek's hot.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, you can wear these. Like, just get like a bra, get a push-up bra and like, or don't get a push-up. Don't wear a bra. You know, like you don't have to, you know, you don't have to have an hourglass to wear a sexy little skimpy dress.
Yeah. Like you might need to get it altered, but could still look good on you.
But yeah, I guess, I mean, that comment wasn't like a hater comment, but I guess no, I have faced this in the tiniest way. Somebody's been like, well, that looks good on you, but it might not look good on me. But I think that's just more of a reason for diversity in body sizes online with Pinterest and Instagram. It's just like, you know, find what's going to inspire you.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's been happening forever. Like if you look at the fat actresses who have really made their way in Hollywood, they're all really attractive people, yeah, you know?
Like you have to be really pretty.
Right. Like you, in fact, you need to be like prettier than you would even need to be as a straight size actress.
It's actually a compliment, a backhanded compliment I used to get all the time. And you know what? Admission here, I kind of liked it. Like I see how fucked up it is now. But when I was in like high school and college and when diet culture was like stronger and people felt emboldened to say things to fat people more, I would constantly be told, oh my God, you're the prettiest person in this room. It's if only you were thinner.
Oh God. Or, you could have just left that last part out.
Yeah. Or like, oh my God, you would be the prettiest person in the world if you just lost weight. And I'm like, well, damn, that's all I got to do to be the prettiest person in the world. I'm pretty damn pretty.
I'm 90% there.
You know, it's like, well, that's so, I mean, it's, I mean, it, obviously it was a stigmatizing thing to say, but I'd be like, okay, well, I guess I really do have a really pretty face.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's true. And pretty privilege exists. Like I don't think there's a problem with it. You know, it's funny. I heard this, this podcast with this woman named Lori Hill, who I follow. She's another YouTuber. If you can't tell, I'm very into YouTube.
I can tell.
Yeah. I mean, I am a millennial, so. but she analyzes celebrity plastic surgery, and she does these videos that kind of like, it's all alleged and it's all opinion, but right. She kind of looks at before and after pictures, and it's really enlightening. At least it was for me to see this person that you can't even tell that they've had work done they've been making small incremental changes their whole career. But anyway, that's a tangent. She was on a podcast talking about pretty privilege. And she said, she was talking about it in a way that made me think about it so differently. Mm-hmm. Which was like, yeah, pretty privilege exists, but who's to say what kind of privilege really gets you ahead? Like if you're really pretty, yeah, like your dry cleaning person might like take your ticket before somebody else or something.
Yeah.
But other people have other gifts. Like pretty privilege essentially is you having physical gifts, right?
Yeah.
And other people have other kinds of gifts. Like they're really charming or they're really funny or they're really smart. And mm-hmm. that can get you ahead too.
Totally.
So it's like we kind of demonize the pretty privilege thing as like, oh, well, it's so easy for you. But like, meanwhile, that person could be dumb as rocks.
Can I also just say, this is a hot take. I'm thankful that I did not grow up thin and beautiful because I grew up boy crazy and I would currently be married with kids right now.
You'd have 10 kids.
I would have 10 kids because I would have been scooped up by like so many, like if I really was, because again, everyone was like, you'd be the hottest person ever if you were skinny. If I was that hottest person ever with all these guys trying to get with me, I'd be like, ooh, like which one will I marry? Because I used to want that life and now I'm here and I'm like, ooh, I love this life.
That's so interesting. So like that would have given you... That would have enabled you to defer to male attention.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that if you grew up skinny, you would just be a terrible person. Because that's how I feel. I think I would be the bitchiest. Like, if I grew up with, like, a tiny little Coke bottle body, I would be such a fucking bitch.
No, I think that about me with money. I'm like, thank God. Because I grew up so broke and I'm still broke, but I still walk around the and I'm like, does anybody have concealer? I'm thirsty. I am such a little baby princess. And so I'm like, if I grew up rich, I would be unbearable. But I...
Well, let's all be happy that we grew up fat and poor, am I right?
Exactly.
Count your blessings, ladies. I think we need to wrap up.
But this was a great conversation.
I think so, too. And it's like, that's not it. Like, it's kind of like a never-ending conversation.
Yeah, we didn't give any answers. We're just...
Yeah, it's something I wonder about a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfair that certain people get attention in the space, specifically in the anti-diet space. Like, it's great that, I mean, it's annoying that one person gets more attention just because of the way they look, especially when that's not what the movement is about at all. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is. We're not going to be able to change that, really. You just, the only thing you have control over is your own thoughts, your own reactions.
Amen. Yes. Well,
look out for number one, ladies. That's it for today's episode. Be sure to send your questions to dst@betches.com to get them answered.
Follow us at Everything's Fine on Instagram. If you like this episode, please write us a review. And don't forget to check out our DST merch at shop.betches.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And follow me at Lauren Hope Crass.
Follow me at Lubination. And remember, we're always with you.
Through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Rebecca Steinberg and Lauren Hope Crass. Editing by Rebecca Steinberg. Social media by Lauren Hope Crass. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. Be sure to follow Diet Starts Tomorrow on all socials and send us your emails to dst@betches.com or your voicemails to 212-287-5650.
Betches.